Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, the Lakers beat the freaking Clippers, and yeah, sure, shorthanded, whatever. I enjoyed it. That was fucking amazing.
It was a nice reintroduction to how freaking stressful those games can be, man. And just like, it had the added element of incredible sloppiness on top of like high stakes ish, right? Like not even a playoff game, and not going through it for months and months and months. So like, Paul George hit a three where Kawhi traveled, by the way, Kuz locked him up. And
dude, the way the referees were calling Kawhi down the stretch was mad,
bro. Yes. And so, yeah, just all of it was like super stressful. It was like, oh, I wasn't ready for this. It's been months since I felt this way.
I'm out of shape. I'm out of fan shape. Exactly. It's July. I'm not. My calendar is not equipped to deal with the situation. You mentioned this, and it's important to point this out. It didn't have the same stakes attached to it, so it didn't really come with the same drama. But how sloppy it was made it feel playoff-ish. Because like, everybody thinks of playoff basketball as like heightened stakes, and it can be so glorious, and it can be this, and it can be that. But those big playoff games tend to be ugly. You know, they tend to be, you know, just dogfights, mud wrestling kind of situations. And and I actually really enjoyed, like, I just recorded with Sabrina for Silverscreen, and I think the important thing to keep in mind here was that while the Clippers were shorthanded, and there were stretches where that depth or the lack thereof really showed up, you know, but this is still the same Clippers team that defensively gives the Lakers problems. Like, Montrezl Harrell is not the a defensive presence. Lou Williams is somebody who, when he was down the stretch in the last game, they were picking on him. You know, so like, defensively, this was actually a really good game for the Lakers to kind of measure themselves up and remind themselves, this is going to be what it takes to score on an elite defense. And that's what I really enjoyed the most about this game.
Bro, our jump shooting was driving me nuts in every freaking Clipper game. I calculated it like, 2.5 quarters in, there was that bummer of a start to the third quarter. I was like, we just cannot hit a shot against this game. We were, what was it? We were 38 for 150 from three against them on the year. So it was like 29%.
I think it's 30.9% is where they're at after tonight.
And that was before they went on that run, because they kind of got hot right at the end of those small ball lineups. That getting JaVale out of the game, going with AD at the five. AD at the five is going to be super important against them, super important against Houston, which is the other team that we talked about in the last episode, right? We saw a lot of AD at the five tonight as a result of we just need to space the floor better. We need and get better looks from the perimeter, because our jump shooting was freaking driving me crazy. But Deion got into it. Kuz was great tonight. Man, it was good to see some bucket getting.
I want to talk about the shooting before we move on to some more positive aspects of the game. And I think, like, on top of the Clippers being a really good defensive team, and on top of the Lakers just struggling to hit shot against them on a normal basis, like, I really think the Lakers struggling to shoot today had also a lot to do with the fact that they just haven't played in a long time. So some of even the timing stuff with the guys who play, like, what I look for is not just like the result of the shot, but the rhythm that goes into it. And or even more importantly, shots that get passed up because a guy isn't necessarily quite ready for it.
This game looked sloppier than the scrimmages did, because everyone's trying completely or close to it. Right. It was more indicative of that playoff basketball that you're talking about. It was if these two teams play again, though, it's going to look a lot different than it did tonight. It certainly was that first game back and had that feel.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, it helps that the Lakers won and all that stuff, but I enjoyed kind of the sloppiness, because that isn't the kind of game that the Lakers, like, if you look at kind of the narratives about these two teams and the way that the Clippers especially kind of carry themselves, right? It's that the Clippers are the team that comes with the hard hat and the sack lunch and this and that, you know, and that, like, if the game gets ugly, that's where it goes in the Clippers' direction. Well, the Lakers took that punch right back in the mouth. And on the final game, the final possession of the game, LeBron starts on Kawhi, switches on to Paul George, forces a tough shot. And that's as, like, hard hat, sack lunch kind of basketball as it's going to get. You know, and and I thought LeBron's game especially, because he didn't have it offensively. He played rather poorly offensively. He got to the point where not only was he missing jumpers, but he stopped taking them as well. That's what we saw in the first game, where they were going under and he was passing up on jumpers. But with all that going on, he said, "All right, I don't have it offensively. It's time to start locking down on defense." And fuck, that was amazing to watch. He still got it, It was great.
Let's talk about LeBron's game a little more in the second segment, because I think there are a couple elements of it that are interesting.
All right, let's hang tight, pay a couple bills here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about LeBron.
Today's show is brought to you in part by MyBookie. Say it with me now, sports are back. I've been waiting for this day since March, and now that it's here, I've only got one thing on my mind, MyBookie. MyBookie is a home run, slam dunk, triple overtime, game-winning shot, all wrapped up into one. I love it, you love it, and that should be all you need to hear in order to start betting today. MyBookie has up-to-the-minute odds on all your favorite teams, and with the start of Major League Baseball and basketball and soccer, you name it, there's never been a better time to start playing. With MyBookie, it's easy. You bet. You win, they pay. Feeling good about your team's chances this year? Be sure to check out MyBookie's World Series and NBA Championships feature bets. Nothing shows your belief in your squad quite like betting on them before the season's even begun, even though we are now underway. But why stop with basketball? Smart bettors are always looking for future bets and other sports that you could potentially use your information on. And in this case, that means baseball, hockey, football. MyBookie is already accepting bets on all your favorite NBA, NHL, NFL, MLB games, and there's never been a better time to start exploring the world of online sports betting. Join today, and MyBookie will match your deposit 100%, plus they'll toss you a free $10 MLB future wager. All you got to do is enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA when you're signing up. Remember, at MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay.
So LeBron plays 34 minutes, 6 of 19 from the field, 2 of 7 from three-point range, only 2 free throws, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, a block, 5 turnovers, which is kind of high for LeBron, and finishes a minus 4, scoring 16 points in the process. But like, those defensive possessions were just incredibly fun to watch. The fact that year 17 LeBron can reach back and, like, that's like Clayton Kershaw facing Murderer's Row and striking everybody out with 98 mile an hour fastballs for some reason, because that's not even the way he usually pitches.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost like an old pitcher, though, right? Like striking people out with, like, movement on a 91 mile an hour fastball, right? Like,
oh, see, I thought it was more power pitching. Like, it was just like defensively. Like,
that's true. He was locked in, man. Yeah. No, that's fair. He was sliding his feet and had some great positions against LeBron. Locked up Paul George on that last play. It's funny you mentioned the first game and then his stat line on the other end of the break. He shot 6 for 19 in the first game of the season too.
Yeah.
And it also, that right there kind of goes to show the difference in the offensive punch. I was just watching that game in preparation for this game the other day, and I was like, Quinn Cook was in the rotation. Troy Daniels was in the rotation in that game. Jared Dudley was in the rotation. Mm. And it, you know, the difference between that and Deion Waiters and, you know, just having just more pop on the team, it made such a difference. I thought LeBron looked rustiest as a passer. He was throwing the ball at people's kneecaps and, you know, just flinging it all over the place. Like you said, passing up shots against unders and clanking a lot of the ones that he didn't. He got a lot of handoffs going left. That was one thing that was interesting. We went down 66-55 in the third quarter, and when we came out of it, ran a lot of handoffs for LeBron. We got lobbed to AD on one of them and kind of got us back on track, but also those smaller units. I think that those smaller AD at the five, LeBron is the most positively impacted by that.
Yeah.
Because the Clippers' whole strategy is just to pack the paint mm-hmm. against us. If we can make jump shots, we're good. But LeBron, like, was, you know, the whole set, like, take what the defense is giving you. He wasn't. He was still trying to force it over and over again. And seeing him struggle like that, and then find a different way to dominate the game, is very reminiscent of Kobe, what Kobe used to do. Mm-hmm. And LeBron's played well on the defensive end this season, but that was probably the biggest, like, final 5 minutes of a game of defense. And he played it for much of the second half, excuse me, where he just turned up and was just fantastic.
Yeah. It's always fun, obviously completely different situation, but remember when Derrick Rose won the MVP and then they met in the playoffs and LeBron guarded Derrick Rose, and it got to a point mm-hmm. where you just felt bad for Derrick Rose. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just like, this is mean. And I felt sorry for an MVP, by the way.
Right. You know?
And it wasn't like he didn't deserve the MVP. And you could
see he doesn't stand a chance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he didn't deserve the MVP. It was a stupid MVP to get or whatever. And that goes back to one of the things you and I were talking about, you know, with MVP voting. But still, a incredible basketball player who at that time was one of the least guardable people in the league. And LeBron made it seem like a cat playing with a mouse that had a broken leg, you know, mm-hmm. and to see, like, I really feel like, because remember there was those reports earlier this year that, like, Kawhi was frustrated at the fact that LeBron wasn't guarding him. You know, he wanted LeBron to guard him. And there were those stretches tonight.
The Galladay wanted.
Yeah, there were those stretches tonight even where, like, I think at the end of a half or something like that, Kawhi saw a screen coming, waved off the screen, right, and then got shut down. And then, you know, in stretches tonight where it wasn't just one-on-one defense, but also making rotations. Because that to me is when I know a player is locked in defensively, is mm-hmm. when they're not only shutting down the player in front of them, but also in lockstep with the team concept of defense, which in a lot of ways is more important than the one-on-one stuff.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Though, you know, you can make the case that, like, because it's the superstar that LeBron is guarding, the one-on-one defense, like, gets heightened or whatever, but still, to me, that's where, you know, this feels like a more important game than even it felt like it was going to be heading into it, because that's LeBron telling Kawhi, telling Paul George, hey, this is a sprint. I don't have to worry about the wear and tear of an 82-game season here. If I have to, I can lock down. If I have to, you want to call me out and ask me to guard you, all right, fine, let's go. And it was a blast to watch.
It really was. It was, vintage performance on the defensive end from him. He had that rotation on Jamichael Green. He blocked or altered a shot mm-hmm. there. Those rotations, they fit in so well with the overall style of the team, right? Like, we can be really aggressive on defense because those back end guys, with Caruso being one of them, right? Like, he does that very well.
Players of the year.
Mm-hmm. Danny Green's very good at those too. It just really suits the style of the team. And LeBron, as a perimeter guy, as a wing guy, like, bro, him and Kuzma combining, like, we got legit wing defense today. PG and Kawhi shot well, right? But our guys had some really good possessions on them that kept it from being a lot worse than it was. Like, I thought that a lot of those one-on-one possessions our wing defenders won, and it was a huge, it was the reason we won the game.
Absolutely. All right, let's take another quick second here. We have to give Kuzma props, so we're going to come back mm-hmm. and do that. I don't get to do it very often, but this is one of those spots where I kind of feel like I want to run a bit of a victory lap. Not a full lap because I'm fat and out of shape and just run. I'm kind of sore because I've been doing a lot of like work around the house. But you and I had literally spoken explicitly on this topic of those games where the Lakers look at Kuzma and say, we need you in this one. And in those big games, at least defensively, because the offense is going to come and go with him, but at least defensively in those games, he feels locked in. And, you know, we talked about, and the other factor that came to mind too, as this was going on, was the way that he was defending Luka in the scrimmage, just like a mm-hmm. week ago, you know, and how mm-hmm. he was pushing himself there. And so you go from learning what he can and cannot do in that spot to answering the call when the, you know, the Lakers basically look at him and say, hey, we need you in this one. And, you know, yes, the 4 of 7 from 3-point range is great. The you know, the overall readiness on offense was fun. But to me, the defense and just the absolute lack of backdown when either he was being hunted on defense for matchups or if he was just guarding Kawhi straight up, that to me could be one of the bigger developments across the entire bubble.
Yeah, because we go from being very big to very small quickly, and that's been the case for the roster for most of the season. And we've had issues, right? Like, bro, how many times has Kawhi cooked KCP this season? He had a few possessions on him in this game, and it was like, yeah, I know how.
Yeah.
I know how this is going to end.
Yep.
And it did. And yeah, man, seeing Kuz bothered him on a few possessions,
yeah.
Right? Like, he had a couple great switches, had one on Reggie Jackson where he got a block and just kind of swallowed him up. And Kuz has been playing quality defense for a while and was before the break. He's grown so much on that end of the court. So when you combine that with that ability to go 4 for 7 from three, that two-way wing play, all of a sudden we're just a totally different team. Yep. At this place where, like, we were like 7, 8s, and 9s out of 10 in almost every area of the game. And then, like, our wing defense, if not for Danny Green, was like a 2 or a 3 out of 10. If Kuz is, you know, showed what he showed tonight, and there is no better players to be going up against, right, than yeah. Kawhi and Paul George. Like, there is no greater challenge that he will face this season.
Although, you know, Giannis and Middleton is pretty good.
It is. And Giannis for different reasons.
Yeah.
But basically, my point is that if he can do this against Kawhi and Paul yeah. George, to a lesser extent, didn't get as many possessions on him, he can do it against anybody. And this has been a progression for him throughout the season. This didn't just show up out of nowhere. It's why, like, I know he's been shooting 30% from three. I know he's scoring like 12 points a game when he was supposed to be the third option. But he's grown so much on defense. Like, he used to be the guy that defenses picked on, man. He yeah. used to be the guy that teams would go out of their way. They were
trying to do it tonight.
They were trying to, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Right. And he was dropping his top foot and just really good attention to detail, using that quick feet that he has that's so advantageous to him on offense. He's always had the ability to do this on defense. Now he understands how to defend technically a lot better than he did. And it's cool to watch, right? To see a guy going from a rookie who's hopping around all over the place to like, hey, use them, that hopping around to drop your lead foot, right?
And mm-hmm.
On that Reggie Jackson play, he, like, his left foot was his lead foot and Jackson faked toward that top foot. So he dropped his left foot back and then quickly drove in the other direction. And then Kuz dropped his right foot because his right foot had become the top foot there. So it was a quick left, right drop on both yep. of those and stayed right in front of a quick guard. It was great.
Yeah. And the thing to keep in mind there is, like, I think a lot of times for really good offensive players, defense is tougher to pick up, not just because, like, you've been more focused over the entirety of your career on offense, but also conceptually, offense is an aggressive play. You know, it's
proactive that, rather
yeah,
than
proactive. Reactive. Yeah, there you go. There,
yeah.
I was thinking progressive, but it's not progressive. It's not yeah. socialist. But yeah, it's the opposite approach where on offense you get to tell the defender, all right, I got to get you to think I'm going here to get you over there so that I can go over here. Whereas defense, it's, all right, I got to try to take something away from you, but you still might attack it. So I have to react to it if I can, and then still get back just in case you go the opposite direction. And mm-hmm. so watching him pick up these concepts, like you're talking about, and drop multiple top feet, switch top feet, whatever, and do so without fouling. And, you know, 'cause I believe he finished the game tonight with two personal fouls, two. Mm. Like that's,
and he had a lot of defensive responsibility on the ball for that. Yeah,
that's big for a guy who was being hunted. Like it was clear that when he was on the court in big possessions, the Clippers thought they had an advantage there, and they hunted him. And he walks away with two personal fouls, and also, you know, added to that what he was able to bring on the offensive side. Which to me, it's not just the result with Kuzma; it's the process to which he gets there. So. We talked earlier about with Kuzma when he was shooting that he was shooting with a wider base. And the reason why I was excited about that isn't just from like the technical standpoint, because I think that's something that's going to benefit him, but also because if you're thinking about your base, that means you aren't thinking about where I should be on the court, because that is now coming naturally. Mm-hmm. And we saw it again tonight where he's standing there in the spots that he should be, and he is more ready. There were occasions, there were a couple spots where he should have taken a shot and he wasn't quite ready to take it, and he had to pass out of that situation. But still, the release, the catch and the release to me felt a lot more natural because he did his homework before the ball got there. And that's something that, given the role he plays, has always driven me insane, because that's all you're being asked to do. And now he's getting mm-hmm. that on top of the defensive concepts here. That's how success becomes sustainable.
He looks stronger to me too. That yeah. I think that underlies all of the, like mm-hmm. the wider base, the on ball defense. It just looks like he took pretty good care of himself over the course. Like he's got some pop to him.
Yeah.
That I like he shoulder in the chest. He's not getting dislodged off of his feet and launched back 2 feet, you yeah. know, from just incidental contact, and that, a little more legs on his jumper, which it's not so much like the elevation, but just like there's a sturdiness. He's not drifting quite as much one way. Like he's got that nice little, he hit that one off of a ball screen with AD where they switched it and they went under and Noah tried to close out. It was like he was going to his right and he kind of like sidestepped, but like he wasn't leaning to his right. He sidestepped right and went up straight. Just like yeah. a lot of like his foundation looks sturdier. It's great to see.
Yep, absolutely. Great to see the Lakers back in action. Great to see them walking away with a win, 103-101 over the Clippers. And it's a great, you know, statements are debatable about whether you can actually send a statement, whether it actually matter, and whether any of that really matters in the bubble. We know that the way that the Lakers are going to approach these games is going to be, you know, different, especially now, because they essentially tonight all but mathematically officially tied up that top spot in the West. Mm-hmm. They have a 6.5 game lead with 7 to go. So, you know, how they handle these games moving forward is going to be interesting to watch. And as we talked about, how other teams handle these games is also going to be interesting to watch from a matchup perspective. But to me, there are some things that are very clearly building blocks here. We talked about Kuzma's foundation, but this is literally the foundation upon which, you know, he might become a more consistently reliable role player. We saw Caruso play 28 minutes, right? And for some stretches, it was a bit of a rough go. And then in other stretches, he did the stuff that made us want Caruso to play 28 minutes, you know? So all of that stuff, there's still plenty of reason to continue to check out these games, on top of it just being like, God, thank God basketball is back. Mm-hmm. Yep. but it was overall a tremendous game, a really fun, you know, week getting to this point in the first place. And now it's just a matter of staying safe, staying healthy, and getting as much out of these next 7 games as possible.
Yeah, man, it was great to get a win in less than ideal circumstances, right? Like at the end of the day, look, I know Lou Will wasn't there. Harrell wasn't there. They still killed us at this in the second quarter, as they always do.
Yep.
And that needs to be addressed. If we play this team again, it'll be in a playoff series. They're going to need to address those second quarter lineups. But LeBron shot 6 for 19, scored 16 points, had 5 turnovers. LeBron didn't play particularly well on offense. We still won the game. I think that says a lot about the upgrades they've made. Haven't gotten into Waiters. I'm sure we'll get into him on another show, but he was great. He had 11 points off the bench, led the team with a plus 17 in 21 minutes. Like one more guy. We just needed one more guy who could put the ball in the bucket. And he was huge in that run, man. So just I think on a night where Kawhi and PG play really well, LeBron does not, and we still get a win, I think it says a lot about the ceiling of this team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for this episode and this week's episodes of the Locked On Lakers podcast. We are back again on Monday with another mailbag pod, so get your questions in the form of a 5-star review on iTunes, and I will answer those. If you can't do iTunes, send them to LakersLockedOn@gmail.com, or you could try Twitter, but nowadays it's pretty hard to kind of single out questions in that spot as well. Other than that, though, please stay safe out there. Make somebody else's weekend, and we will talk to you again on Monday. Shouts to Lemon Pepper Lou.